Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the French Rugby Podcast with me, Tim Groves, ex-Scotland international and adopted Frenchman, Johnny BT, and La Rochelle in France number 8, Greg Aldrich, back with us. It's bring your mate to work day as well, Greg, because we've got one of your teammates coming on shortly. But you were both in La Rochelle at the weekend, so have you dried out? And do we need to start blaming Johnny for this, Greg? Because every time he goes down to La Rochelle, the weather is dreadful. -8 before when we spoke to you, and he'd been down, and now... What were those conditions like at the weekend?
Yeah, both time was terrible for him. But I saw on Instagram, he enjoyed the harbour and the city. So we'll have you this summer with nice weather, and we'll have a coffee on the harbour.
It's stunning, man. Like, even like being up and like you see around the aquarium and the port, and just like obviously with Jen and the kids, it's the type of ideal place. Like if you had a young family, it's a stunning place to look around. That was it. I only got to see the port for about 25 minutes when it stopped pissing it down, but. It's a stunning part of the world. It really is. I think definitely we're going to come up, I think, to Île de Ré as well. But yeah, like the game at the weekend, like we were just chatting before we came on, it just reminds me of, and like Rog, like Ronan O'Gara has played 100 games in those types of conditions. He must absolutely love it. But it reminds me of growing up and playing Glasgow against Munster and Ulster and Connacht away from home, horrible conditions and a total leveler and a really hard game, which it was. Like it was hard to watch. But imagine physically for you boys, it must have been really difficult as well.
It was really difficult and really happy with the win, because when you spend an evening like this on the pitch with this kind of condition and you lose it at home, like it's a nightmare. So no, happy to win it. And we know that in Champions Cup, every win is really important in a phase group. So 3-on-3 and that's it.
Obviously elation for you boys. You mentioned how important it was, but did a little bit of you feel sorry for the Ulster boys as well? Like, with everything they've had, the disruptions, the different games, having to play their home game in Dublin and then nearly coming so close to a massive piece of history, winning away, you wouldn't think of this because you guys are the champions and you want to defend your town. But a little bit, for me, I felt really sorry for them as well, because they put in a really big fight, hard game, and then they lost the game in injury time, which must have been heartbreaking.
No, but, well, we knew before the game, and I told the boys it's going to be the hardest game of the year for the forwards, and I was right at the end. We knew Ulster first half in Dublin was not their team, was not their rugby. They show us the difference in the second half, so we were waiting really a big strong team of Ulster. We prepared like we prepared the biggest game of the year, and so of course it's another loss for them, but we only think of us when on this kind of competition. So we're just really happy with the win, like I was saying.
Johnny, no, we don't feel sorry for them at all.
Nah,
correct.
Just me. Just me having been in that position. And then obviously the conditions were horrendous. Was there anything different you had to adapt to? Like the wind was ridiculous. I was on like the BT Sport WhatsApp group with Rory Best and the commentary team just saying, look, the wind at one end was absolutely horrendous to play into. You guys had the wind at your back in the second half, which made it easier and helped you get back in. But was there anything weird that you had to adapt, like any situational stuff or kicking duties that were changed because of the conditions?
Of course, you know, like kind of plays we prepared during the week, we couldn't do it on the weekend. adapt with the play. And like I was saying, on the, as well as the physiognomy of the game, not kicking for the three because, really, really windy and really hard for Antoine to kick. So maybe we went a bit more for line outs or for scrum near the line. So it was a different game than, if it was a nice weather.
Johnny, I want to ask you the same question, because the last time you were there in sub-zero temperatures, you said you hid in the car for most of the game. So did your plans change?
Mate, you've got me there, Tim. I sat in the stand and watched the game, but it was much, but even from just like being able to absorb the atmosphere, like being stuck in the car, keeping warm, A, that was soft of me. I shouldn't have done that in the first place. But B, like even you see like La Rochelle, even on a, like that's a bad day, right? For the crowd, much more even, but the La Rochelle Stadium, the infrastructure, the conditions, and then the people there are awesome. Like, get behind the team, big atmosphere, really push their team the whole way through 80 minutes. So, yes, I made it into the stadium. I watched the game properly in the pissing rain as a Scot. And it's much better doing that way. It was always hard to go there as a player because it is such an intimidating atmosphere. But yeah, what an environment. What a game day they put on. It's a great stadium.
Well done. You were there in the cheap seats then? No executive box, nothing, no coffee? No.
Absolutely not. I was actually sat right next to Donica, which is interesting as well, because from like a coaching perspective, you can hear he's very much on line outs and forward play. So you can hear exactly what's going right, what's going wrong, line out calling, things that he's enjoying, not. So no, it wasn't the cheap seats. He's not even in the special seats. He's like next to the catering box, which is next to the media box, which is the cheap seats.
Is that deliberate, next to the catering box?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. He's been shoved the whole way down. But it was interesting to sit next to him, get a bit of his insight as well, because he's a smart boy, and just hear the coach's perspective. So that was really cool.
And Greg, 0-0 for 63 minutes, which is the longest a European Cup game has ever been pointless for, which is a hell of a start. Not the one you want, but it's a hell of a start. What was it like to play? And apart from the conditions, did you start thinking at one point, we could play for a week here and there'd be no score?
Well, against the wind was really, really hard. And we were just trying to get less points we could. And when you see at a moment, they go for 4 or 5 drives. And we get on the last one, we get a scrum. So this was really satisfying to get back to the locker room 0-0. But well, really tough game. And what we said at the halftime, like, if we can win it 3-0. We sign straight away. And that was really the objective of the team, was just to win this game and just keep going for the first 2 place of the pool stage.
I also bumped into Antoine Astor. He was saying the same thing, that hasn't really been spoken about outwardly, but the objective from the start has been top 2, makes the next round hopefully easier. And that's what you'll be hoping to polish off and get secured as good a draw as possible this weekend.
Yeah, of course. And as the beginning of the Champions Cup, we were just wanting to be qualified, you know. But when you win the 2 first game and you are Ulster home and Northampton away, you want to see further and to be in the top 2, of course. And when you see Exeter, Saracens, even Edinburgh, Leinster, of course, Toulouse, Leicester, lots of big teams this year. So if we can get first 1 game home and then a potential 2nd game home, it's a big advantage, of course.
Right. I don't want to speak out of turn because a win's a win, but I don't reckon the meter moment of the week is coming from La Rochelle Ulster this week. So what have you got for us, Johnny?
No, it isn't my bravery at watching the game outside at La Rochelle. But it's a future potential teammate of Greg's. So like, I'll talk through it slowly and see if you can get it, Greg. You can jump in if you find out who it is. But he's recently applied for his French passport.
Okay. I think he might have it already.
Is due to arrive during the Six Nations. He's been on the podcast a couple of times. And in my opinion, he went to another level this weekend in the Champions Cup. He went forward pretty much every time he touched the ball away from home, scored a try, sat down Manu Tuilagi. Like, Manu Tuilagi, who does that? Who sits down Manu Tuilagi? Not me. Most ball carries for his team, most tackle breaks, most meters covered in the game for his side from the second row. Have you got it yet?
A small guy from Toulouse?
Possibly. Manny Miafu was insane. Again, at the weekend, it's only going to be a matter of time now before he's in an extended training camp with you boys, because he was ridiculous again at the weekend. But he gets our meter moment of the week for his performance at the weekend, because he was phenomenal. And good luck in the passport, which should be arriving in the post in the next few weeks, Manny.
You're used to playing with Will Skelton, Greg, but Manny would be fun to play with as well, wouldn't he?
Well, when you see the game he's done against Sale, well, incredible. And well, this is the beauty of the French team as well. When you have Paul Villemse and Romain Tsaoufinois, who are two of the best, I think, second row, massive second row. You think you're okay for years and years, and you have the Manny Murph who come in, and you say, whoa. Every year we've got some really good player coming into the squad and really pushing us to improve. So this is just insane for us, yeah.
Absolutely terrifying for the rest of the world, Johnny.
I'm just glad he doesn't play number eight, mate, or else you might be in some difficulty. But he terrified. But that's it. Like the depth that you're building as a nation now and as a squad, when you look through even the squad that's been announced this morning that we'll go through in a minute, the depth and the positions and the talent that's been churned down the top 14 is just insane. And Manny, a guy that only recently really has started getting serious game time last season and this year, his performance levels have just been out of this world. So well done him. And who knows, maybe at the World Cup, we might be seeing him vying for a spot with Big Tao, with Paul Villemse, and aiming for that number five jersey. We'll wait and see.
There we go. That was Johnny's meter moment of the week. And meter is the world's number one wireless meat thermometer, recently making over 20 million cooks better with their game-changing app and completely wireless Bluetooth meat probe. You can use it on a barbecue, in the oven, or in a pan, and you can get your hands on one at meter.com. Plus, you can now get 10% off any full-price item. All you have to do is enter the code FrenchPod10 at checkout. That's FrenchPod10, and you'll get 10% off any full-price item at meter.com. We will chat more about the Champions Cup later, because it'll be interesting to look at the overall picture, see how many French teams we think are going to make it through to the knockout stages in what is going to be a crazy round four this weekend. But we just touched on it there. Fabien Galthié has named his France squad ahead of the Six Nations. And you're in, Greg. Congratulations. I mean, it would have been the biggest shock ever if you hadn't been in, but congratulations anyway. I can't imagine you were sitting there by your phone twitching, thinking, am I going to be in or not? But as an established member of the squad, how do you find out nowadays that you're in? Do you get a WhatsApp? Do you get a call? Do you get an email?
Well, we had Rafael Ibanez in La Rochelle on Monday. So we had a meeting with him, tried to speak about all the organization and everything. And on the D-Day, I had Thibaut Giroud on the phone. So, you know, there are kind of six, seven staff calling all the 42 players. So, no. Always a good moment when you get the call and when you see your name on the list. I've said that since the beginning, but you never know until you see your name on the list. And I prefer to take it like this and to be happily surprised every time than finding it. It's like kind of normal. No. It's just special every time.
That's the professional answer. Johnny, between me and you, I imagine Greg is one of the quicker phone calls that Thibaut makes.
Yeah. There's going to be like, you'll be on the short, what do you call it? On the short list of the go-to, you'll be in your speed dial. That's where you'll be for Thibaut. But quite nice that Fabien also divvies up the responsibility, and it's up to a few people to phone around to have different conversations. That's quite nice, as opposed to having that one conversation with the same coach every time, which is really cool. And all I would say is enjoy it for as long as it lasts, because the feeling is amazing. And then all of a sudden you're nearly 40 and you're finished and you just enjoy watching the games and chatting about it and having a beer with your mate. So mate, well done again. Look forward to watching over the next few weeks. It'll be awesome.
When are you meeting up? Presumably it's after the round four of the Champions Cup, but have you got an idea of preparations and what they're going to look like this year? Are there any differences to last year? You said you had a meeting in La Rochelle. So has it kind of been laid out how things are going to look?
Well, you know, every time before the Six Nations, we get 1 week of camp. And they try to take us out from Marcoussi where we spend all the rest of the tournament. So we did Nice the first time. We did Cassis then last year. And this year we're going to Cap Breton, southwest of France. So every time they try to find us some nice place and in the south to get some good weather. And so we'll discover this place. And it's as well the place of where we will spend 3 weeks, I think, for the preseason of the World Cup. So we get a first view, an overview of the town, even if I know it well, because when you're from Auch in the southwest, you often go to Osegor or Cap Breton to the ocean. Now it's a nice place, and we'll train over there for 10 days, and then we'll fly to Italy. So no, after I don't think there is big change in the preparation, but just things gonna be a bit a bit strange, you know, but we need to be careful of is that we'll play the first home game is in week 3. So we start away in Italy, away in Ireland. So we need to start really, really hard because Six Nations, like if you don't do good good game at the start and even against Italy and then Ireland, like it's going to be hard to win this tournament.
So you'll be spending almost a month on the road before you get a home game, including the preparation. Do you room with each other? Do you get your own room?
No, I'm always have my room with Anthony Gelon. So this is my roomie and we'll never change. Like we need to be together when we are with a French team.
I take it he's a good roommate then, is he?
Yeah, perfect roommate. And he's okay with my snorkeling.
You're snoring. Yeah.
Snoring. Snorkeling is not the same. Snoring, yeah. So so he's okay with that. So that's perfect.
So mate, Capreton is my son's rugby club. And they are super pumped about having you down. I think there's almost like a, I think there's a team day where like everyone from Capreton, like all the kids can go down. I think it's on the 25th of January. So if you're in the area and you can get along, come along. But like in my son's team, there's Scott Spedding's little boy, Lenny. There's Warren Britz who played for South Africa. His boys, like they're all on the same team. So they're all coming to spend the day with you on the 25th. And they are pumped. And if you need to get out of camp, there's always a Côte de Bœuf and a glass of red wine. We're about 5 minutes down the road, so you're welcome anytime. And also, Capreton, they've completely done up like the way you guys will be staying. I don't think you've even got a roommate for your World Cup prep. I think you've all got like individual chalets, waiters, servers, butlers. Like they've gone the whole nine yards. It's gone 6-star for when you get here in Capreton, but it's a great part of the world. Obviously, you know it really well, but they're really excited to have you guys down here and host you properly for your prep.
More importantly, Johnny, is your lad a budding back rower? Is he going to be pestering Greg for some tips when he's down there?
It's quite weird. So like, he's only just starting to get to the stage where he sort of understands like the numbers and the names. And he's like, so I was like, I was in La Rochelle at the weekend. He's like, oh, cool. They're the team that play in red. I know, mate, they play in yellow. He's like, oh, I'll get there eventually. Like, honestly, he's just not quite clicked yet. I think he'd be sooner be making like the dinners and cutting up the oranges and like running around looking after everyone. Like he's not quite got it. He loves watching, but his understanding isn't there yet. So like, it's a little bit too soon for him to realize that Greg and Antoine and the team are coming to the area. I think it's more like the parents. So like the dads are all super keen for their 5 and 6-year-olds to meet everyone. But it'll just be amazing for the club, for the region as well, to have the French side come here and be host to the side for the World Cup preparations, but also for the Six Nations. And they'll be pretty proud, I would say. The local community is very cool.
You mean he hasn't been watching YouTube videos of his dad for the last 5 years or so?
I tried to keep him away from you, mate. He's in Lego Go. He's Ninja Go. Like rugby is so far down the ladder of things that he wants to watch. It's Ninja Go. It's Paw Patrol, whatever it is. And then rugby is when I come home, he's like, Dad, can we watch the highlights? And then we get to sit and go through all the top 14 games, watch the highlights together. That's the start of his journey. And obviously his mini rugby at the club in Capreton and Hossegor is coming along slowly. But yeah, mate, he's just going to absolutely love it. But the answer is no, he doesn't watch videos of me on YouTube because there aren't any, mate, let's be honest. So he'll be watching the French boys training in a couple of weeks, which will be amazing.
And it's not quite Toulouse levels, Greg, but there's 6 La Rochelle players now in this France squad. So that must be nice to have a few familiar faces with you as well.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And, you know, first thing, Rog, when he arrived, he said, well, we only have 2 players in the French team. This is disrespectful for the team, but it's you who need to work and we need to work to get maximum of players, you know, in the French team. And you see really this Irish side because maybe a French manager would have said like, well, too many guys, it was a French team. And no. If Fabien took 10 guys from Marshall, like Rog will be the happiest guy on earth. And this is really great for us.
It must come from his Irish background as well, because when you come from like the Scottish Federation with 2 teams, or you're in Ireland and you're from Munster, you want your team to have the heaviest representation because that means your province is doing well. And that's where he'll be so proud of the job you guys are doing, the results that you achieved last year and the way you're playing this year. For him, it's a direct correlation of we're doing well, therefore we're developing players properly. They're ready for international rugby. And we're super proud as a club to have them go on and represent France. It's amazing. It's the way it should be.
And give us a word on a couple of the new faces in there, because there's a young player in your position in the back rows in, and then we mentioned him earlier on, Antoine Hastoy, who might have to go some to usurp Romain Entomac or Mathieu Jalibert. But how big of a difference has he made as well since his arrival in La Rochelle?
Well, they're both really good players, you know. First, Paul is really athletic guy. See, he could play for 100 minutes on the pitch. Like, he will never stop running, never stop tackling. Yeah, so this is really good for as well, international level. And about Antoine, like, he's, for me, a world-class player. Well, he's a really good player. He has a place to in the French team, this is sure. And of course, there is Mathieu Jalibert, there is Romain Tamac, but it's always good to be there and to show the best of you at every training. And the beauty with French team as well is that you can be in the team for a while. You need to do good training to play. You need to be on your top to play. This really put like a big emulation, big concurrence.
Like internal competition.
Internal competition, you know, so everybody needs to be at the top and need to improve every training to play. And this is really good for us.
And Johnny, any other surprise names or fresh faces in there that you're excited about?
There's a few, actually. Some ones for like injury reasons, other guys that are really young and haven't had much game time. Like Yacouba Camara is back in from Montpellier. It's 4 years since he last played for the French side. I think he last played against Tonga in 2019. But again, like, as Greg just mentioned, a complete athlete, powerhouse, gets around the field, dominates for Montpellier, who haven't been amazing so far this season, but he's one of the guys that stood out. There's still eight guys in the squad that are uncapped, which is crazy. Paul Boudin, we've just mentioned. Louis Biaibari, the winger up at Bordeaux, who's been ripping up as well. Romain Bourros from Bordeaux, he's still a phenomenal fullback. Léo Colli is a big shout. So Léo Colli was, you know, Mont-de-Marsan, and has been, like, he's a really slick-looking scrum half, still extremely young. But the fact that he's jumped ahead of Baptiste Serin, again, in the pecking order, that's a really big shout. It'll be interesting for him to work under the tutelage of Fabian as well, like another scrum half with a big future. Julien Delbuy, another young centre, has been outstanding for Stade Francais. Combative, gets across the gain line, competes for ball really well. Ethan Dumortier, 22-year-old, has been class again for Lyon this year. Winger, he's been through the seven circuit. Emilien Gailleton, who was the captain of the 20s from Pau. I think his mum's English as well. Like, his English is phenomenal. We need to get him on here at some point. And Nolan Le Garret coming back from injury and being superb for Racing. So, like, there's all those boys that haven't been capped that are still could quite easily slot in and do an outstanding job. There's two boys that have come back for their first games since the Grand Slams. You've got Francois Coe and Melvin Jaminet are coming back after a bit of time out with injury for various reasons. Weirdly, the oldest player in the squad is only 32 years old. That's Winnie Antonio, which is crazy when you think he's the oldest player in the squad compared to other squads in the Six Nations. Just shows how young you guys are. And amazingly, there are 11 clubs represented. We just touched on the six for La Rochelle, but there are 11 clubs represented by the selection, the top 14. The only clubs that don't have a player are Bayonne, Brive and Perpignan. So, like, there's loads of young boys to look out for. Francois Melvin, I think, will come back in and do a job as well at some point because of other injuries. A really exciting squad, and they'll be looking forward to camp, but really looking forward to seeing them play in Italy in a few weeks' time.
Absolutely, we can't wait. And presumably, those fresh faces, as you said, Greg, with the competition, it just kind of makes it more exciting. There's absolutely no staleness when it comes to this French side, and the message will just be, we go again, presumably.
Oh, of course. Six Nations is so beautiful. Like, it's, for me, one of the best competition in the world. So we'll get back to work, really. We're going to work really hard every week because we know it's going to be a tough tournament for us with three away games, but would say week after week and prepare every game like a final and try to win this tournament. Of course, we all have the World Cup in the head, but it's in 7 months. Like, it's quite long, 7 months. Everybody say it's tomorrow, but 7 months is quite long. So we need to be focused on the present. And after the tournament, we'll be able to switch on the World Cup. But if we do it now, it's too early, and we're going to do a big mess at the tournament, and it's going to be really bad for us.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com.
That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's get our guest on now then, and we can have a chat with a man who is part French, part Irish, but swapped the west coast of Ireland for the west coast of France this season. La Rochelle second row, Ireland international, Alton Delam joins us. How you doing?
Hey, not too bad. Not too bad, mate.
We have got you on with your skipper, so apologies for that. Could be a bit awkward. We'd normally ask you how good he was as he welcomed you. We'll ask you anyway. Be honest.
Yeah, 100%. Sure, the first... I think the first day or two after arriving, I was invited out to dinner with him and his mates, and it was a perfect welcome, really, just to go and I suppose to break the ice with one of the big players in the squad. So yeah, always appreciated that.
Can you tell us about that first meeting, Greg?
Yeah, I read like Ulti was in La Rochelle for I think 1 or 2 days, and I had a few friends from Southwest there, not the calmest one, not the. So we had like a nice restaurant, and it ended up a bit late in the night. So just to it was a good night to welcome Ulti.
No, it was good. It was good meeting his mates as well. Just a right vibe I needed, I suppose. But he's right, it went on a bit late.
Was this pre-signature, or is this what sealed the deal so that you were definitely coming over after this night out that happened?
No. This was literally the. A day or two after moving over.
So, oh, nice.
It was just, I had no one, I suppose, around. And so the manager just sent out the back signal and saw who was about town, and Greg and his mates are around. So it was good to meet him and have dinner.
When you say moving over, it's really almost like moving back, because settling into France for you is a little bit different. You lived in Paris until you were 7. It was your first base language. So did it feel a bit like going home, even though Ireland is really home?
It would have if it would have been a few years ago, but at this point I've been in Ireland for over 20 years, you know. So it's I always thought of going back to France as like, oh, I'm finally going back. But I suppose what I've found the last few months since being here is just I'm constantly trying to catch up, with the language, you know. So like I've forgotten so much of it since moving. So it's just been nice to be immersed back in the French culture, but. I do feel like I'm a step behind to I suppose where I would have been as a child when I had a bunch of friends living near me and all that to hang out with.
I'm sure you learned a few key phrases on that night out with Greg, didn't you?
A couple, yeah. I had to get used to the accent. The southern accent was like, again, not something I would have been very used to, but sure, now there's so many lads in the squad that channel me like that, so it's grand. But it was a bit confusing initially.
Not the easiest accent as well, so.
Yeah, exactly.
So then weirdly, growing up in Paris, like you must have had like a banging Parisian accent as a 7-year-old leaving. So now when you come back, you must still speak with like a heavy Parisian or local to that area accent. Do people engage with you and speak with you like you're fully French because you speak with a nice accent and then you don't have the vocabulary, so you have to catch up? Like, where are the gaps that you're finding in the language?
Yeah, you're right enough. I think my accent sounds good, but then once people chat to me for a few minutes, they realize, oh, I'm kind of reaching for words, or I'm trying to feel my way around around what to say. So people kind of get the gist of like, oh, I sound good, but I'm not I've definitely forgotten my way with some of my French, but the Parisian accent is grand. It's quite neutral. I think you have to double check with Greg, but to me, it's quite a neutral accent. So it's easier to understand for everyone. Yeah.
First time, like everybody's trying to speak to him in English, you know, because you say Irish guy coming over, and finally he speaks French, like just like you. So you say, oh well.
Did you keep that up your sleeve when you moved? Or were you able to say, oh, I don't speak French, speak to me in English? Or did everyone know?
No, I thought of pulling a joke, but no, everyone seemed to know. It wasn't flying.
The accent between Ireland and France is one major difference. The weather is supposed to be another, but we were chatting before we came on about the game at the weekend, and I was blaming Johnny because he went to the game in round one. It was like -8 or something, sub-zero temperatures. Johnny was there at the weekend in La Rochelle as well. torrential rain storm. I was blaming him. Should I be blaming you? Because you brought the weather from Galway, haven't you?
Yeah, geez, I don't know. Well, I mean, we had a lovely summer, so it's a bit hard to pinpoint me for that one now. But that to be fair, I think was the worst weather to play in for us this season at home. So like we had a cold spell, I think, just before Christmas. But otherwise, it's actually quite mild here compared to, I suppose, I'm comparing it to Ireland, you know. So I think very unlucky for Johnny.
Just reminded me of growing up and playing games in Glasgow. Surely for you that was a reminder of, I should have left this home. Like, I thought I'd done with games at the Sports Ground in Galway, and then here we're back again. It's weird, because in France you never really get those types of conditions for a game. But then that was exactly like playing in a Belfast or a Connacht or a Glasgow the weekend. It was a monsoon.
Yeah, again, but you got to take into account they don't come that often as well. Like, I don't know.
Never.
I'm hoping you only get it two or three more times this year. I don't know. I suppose Greg knows more, but there's far more good than bad weather, you know. So
yeah, if you're Jack Carter, you know exactly what to do, because you're playing it every week. You hoof the ball up in the air. It goes all over the place. If you're Antoine Astoy, you're like, what is this? I'm not used to this.
Yeah, oh, for sure. You'd hate to be a back having to play out in those conditions every week. So props to the Connacht lads for stuffing with it.
So, mate, growing up as a youngster in Paris, were you involved in rugby at a young age? Like, we were just talking there about my son, age six now, starting to watch the top 14 and understand it and enjoying his rugby. Like, you moving away and going through the Irish system, was there always a sense of you'd quite like to come back to France and try the top 14? Was that on your radar or not at all?
It was. I suppose it only was in the last 5-6 years, but I've always thought of the idea of moving back to France. And speaking with my mum years ago, she kind of also echoed the same idea. So it was more, the thought back then was kind of more, oh, before I finish my career, it would be nice to go over. But I don't think I'm that old. I might look it, but I've still a few years left. So I think I'm here at a good age. If you'd asked me a few years ago that I think I'd be in France right now, I probably would. I wouldn't have thought so. So I found myself incredibly lucky to be here. Yeah, it is definitely part of living my dream, I suppose, to finally be over here.
And how did that move to La Rochelle come about? Because presumably you would have had other offers, maybe in England, maybe in Japan, as well as potentially an offer to stay in Ireland, other offers in France maybe. So what was it about La Rochelle that attracted you, and how did the move come about?
There's different, I suppose, different ways it kind of came about, but the connection of the Irish coaches was obviously a nice one for me, having played with Duncan Ryan and kept contact with him over the years. That was obviously one of the connections to eventually coming over, and knowing that I would have the support of those coaches here was a big push, considering how much of a culture shock it could be going from all my career in Ireland to over here. But yeah, obviously there was my contract was coming to an end in Connacht, and I just looked to see if there was any interest abroad, and fortunately enough, there was, you know.
And how difficult was that decision to make? Because you got 19 caps, there is a World Cup this year, but you'd sort of been on the periphery for a little bit, like we would say, like holding tackle bags, not getting the game time you'd have wanted. So how difficult was it to make that decision and sort of turn your back on a World Cup dream and try something completely different and move to France for top 14 rugby?
It was really tough, to be honest, but I suppose part of my decision, and it involved the national coaches. It's not like you just decide you're going and that's it. Everyone's grown up, you know. You have a good conversation with everyone. And for me, I suppose I voiced my frustration at the previous World Cup, how you know I was thought to be going then, and it was obviously left with disappointment. But on their eyes, I suppose I was needed for this one coming, and it would have been nice to have had my commitment to the squad. But you know, they understood where I came from, and they're very fair about it. And going to France to a great club like La Rochelle is an opportunity you get every year. You know, you're quite lucky to get such a chance. So I suppose we measured up the pros and cons, and my family and my girlfriend's family opinions came to it as well, and we made this choice.
And you say you're all adults and you have those conversations. So what was the last chat you had with Andy Farrell? And was it sort of a case of he said you're in my thoughts, or there has to be an injury? What was the kind of honesty that you were getting from him?
I told them the opportunity that was offered. They mentioned how much they would have wanted me to stay and what lay before me if I'd stayed, and with the World Cup prospects and all that. But in the end, they understood that it was my decision, and they respected whichever one I would take. So it didn't take too long for me to kind of come up with my with my own personal decision, and they supported it. So it was quite a fair conversation.
I don't mean to be disrespectful to any other team, Johnny, so I won't name anyone, but there's quite a difference between the offer of going to some teams and going to the European Championship, a place like RSL, a captain like Greg. It's quite a feeling.
Yeah, 100%. And I suppose my decision was made and decided before the final in Marseille last year as well. So watching that with my family in Kerry was just kind of brought home, I suppose, the pressure to perform and what was ahead this season. But obviously, the understanding that I'm going to a phenomenal club with huge ambitions. So the excitement was tremendous, I suppose.
I imagine you also were looking at those pictures of Greg lifting the trophy in the port, surrounded by everyone who lives in La Rochelle, thinking, oh, why couldn't I be there this year?
Yeah, I think me and a lot of the new guys thought and felt the same. But at the same time, we're kind of thinking, well, let's just do it again. All we have to do is do it again. So that's the goal.
We've mentioned the two Irishmen at the heart of the coaching team, Ronan O'Gara, Donnacha Ryan. How have they helped you settle in? And is it true? I heard that Donnacha has pointed you in the direction of a shop that sells Barry's tea. And can you give us an idea of how important that is to you? And is it performance enhancing? Does it make you play better?
It's not that kind of tea, mate.
Well, no, they've been great. They've been great since the very beginning, I suppose, just meeting with them and just kind of reassuring it of how good the boys are, that, you know, the quality of players I'm joining and how well they lead the squad together and all that. It was, they've been really sound and welcoming. Yeah, on that, I think Donners is, I suppose he knew that I'd be missing little things like bacon, rashers and sausages and all that kind of stuff. And put me onto the comptoir, I think the comptoir Irlandais and in town. And it's just has those little bits. But I never needed to get the Barry's tea anyway, because Barry somehow sent Rog Dunica and I a big thing of tea bags. Like, I have over 1,000 tea bags in the kitchen. And then my family gave me like Lion's tea bags. So I do not have to buy tea for the next, for the foreseeable future. It's crazy.
Greg, has Alton made you a cup of tea yet? Has he introduced you to Barry's tea or not?
No, not yet. You have to, bro.
It's on the cards. I have to bring everyone for tea, I suppose.
Is the French tea no good?
It's not a thing. Like, they're not into it the way Brits are, because they're not sitting around in the pissing cold. They're drinking rosé and having nice white wine with oysters outside. They don't have to drink tea to keep warm. That's just a British and Irish thing.
Yeah, and I was only saying it to one of the guys, I think a couple of days ago. Like, I'm forgetting stuff I used to do back in, I suppose, Galway. Like, it'd be like a Tuesday after training, and you'd go home, and that evening, about four or five of the lads would come over to the house, and we'd all have a cup of tea, and we just, like, have a tea, sit down and just chat about, you know, anything, you know, just, and that used just to be a thing we do like once a week, once or twice a week even. And obviously it's not a thing here, but I didn't realize I missed it until I mentioned it to my mate there a couple of days ago.
You can try and bring it in slowly. Clearly Barry's are, if they're trying to get 1,000 tea bags worth of product placement out you and Donnacha, and they've sent it over. Like, weirdly on Donnacha, like, you played the same position, you must have grown up watching him, you've played with him, you've been in squads with him. What's it like being coached by him now, especially in a specific line-out coaching, forward coaching capacity? Is that quite weird, or is it helpful having him in your corner? Like, how does that relationship work?
Yeah, it's not weird at all. He's always that kind of supportive character, I suppose, in like when he was playing, as well as like on or off the field. He's always been the same, and he's like genuinely a very likable person, you know, and really approaching and willing to help, and like all the other players would say the same. So it hasn't been weird or strange at all. He's just he's genuinely willing to help, and obviously if you're willing to work, it works both ways, you know. He's a good fellow to have around.
And we've chatted to Greg about Donnacha. We've chatted to Greg about Ronan O'Gara, the main man. How intense is he?
I suppose it depends. I would say he's fair. He can be intense, but like so can most coaches, you know. But I would say it's a fair way of doing it. He does it to get the best out of the boys, and you can feel the pressure, but it's for the right reasons, you know.
Does he WhatsApp you video clips at midnight as well, or is that just his captain he sends those to?
No, not me. Just
Greg, himself, it's just yeah. you.
No, but just to show you how intense he is, like yesterday we had not the best training of the year, you know. And for all the afternoon, we had all the club coming to eat at the facilities center, the training center. And everybody was asking him, "Hi, Rog, how are you?" "Bad. We did a bad training." And every maybe told that like 50 times in the afternoon. "This is Rog."
He wears his heart on his sleeve.
Exactly. That's exactly what he put his heart on his sleeve. Yeah.
He's honest.
And he doesn't peddle his words for anyone. Like, that was the other thing. For instance, was it not 2-3 weekends ago was your first win over Toulouse in maybe 8-9 attempts? And French press, you know, how does it feel like this? And he was just like, "Well, it's all right. Like, it had to happen sometime. Like, it would have been ridiculous if we just didn't win forever. So it's okay. We move on to the next thing." Like, it's the realist in him. There's no messing around. There's no like over emotional gushiness or playing to press or media or anyone. He just says straightly what he thinks, and I think that's awesome. I love watching the way he talks post-match. I imagine, like, for training as well and having a coach like that, it must be quite refreshing not to have any of the bullshit. You're just told exactly what your men are doing, why, and get on with it.
I think it's like it's a no bullshit way of coaching, and it's I think some players need to be told more than others, but he's such a great way of putting I think he balances out the intensity with some, because sometimes players can be a little bit too relaxed, and he has a way of bringing everyone at the same, I suppose, stress level sometimes. But he's Greg knows more than me, but he can be intense, but for the right reasons, I think.
And it would have been a new challenge going to a new club after you'd been in Connacht for so long. Anyway, you arrive in La Rochelle, the status they have in the second row. You've got club legend Romain Sazi. You've got the giant that is Will Skelton. You've got Thomas Laveau's in the French squad as well. There's a lot of competition, isn't there? So how are you finding the competition and the challenge?
Yeah, good. Again, everyone just tries to bring the best out of themselves. It's hard to compete with someone like Will. He's like kind of the specimen. So I wouldn't consider him competition, really. But I suppose it's just been a bit, it's been different for me in that I've been in the second row and then in the back row. I think I've been back row more than second row this season because of how injuries have happened and whatnot. So it's been a cool experience. Different things to get used to, but genuinely enjoyed the chances I've had. I think I could do better. I know I can do better, but yeah, again, with the caliber of players we have, I think personally I need to perform. Otherwise, you know, come knock out Ruben, I probably won't be involved. So it's good to know that there's constantly good players there to take you over, and that drives the best out of you. So it's what will make the club great, you know.
Can we get the captain's assessment as well, Greg? He's getting on all right so far, isn't he?
Oh, of course. Like, and it's really important for us to get like I said for the French team, like lots of internal competition, because it forces everybody to everybody like get back to work on the Monday, keep improving. And if you're not good at training or on the weekend, like someone is going to take your jersey on the next week. And this kind of things that Rog say a lot, like I don't care about who's wearing the jersey, I care about the jersey, and everybody in the jersey must be good every weekend, you know. And this is really important for us.
Give us an insight, you can both do this actually, give us an insight into some of your teammates at La Rochelle, Alton. Who is the biggest joker in the La Rochelle squad? And then we can get Greg's view as well.
The biggest joker, I would think, is Winnie Antonio, probably. Or Will. I'll go Winnie.
Is that because no one dares mess with either of them when they play these jokes?
Fuck no. Who would mess with a pair of them?
I just think they just can't take anything seriously. Like, well, especially Winnie, he'll find the humor in everything, which is, it's a great quality to have around you. He always makes him laugh, even at a serious point.
We should put a mic on both of them just before scrum during a game. Like, you hear them talking to each other. It's terrible, terrible, terrible.
Only people that size could get away with behaving that way, because if that was like any of us three, the coach would be all over us. Do you know what I mean? But because they're so much physically bigger than anybody else in the club, everyone's like, they're going to be, it doesn't matter. They can still flick that switch and be physical. Whereas anybody else would be like, come on, heads on, not acceptable. But those guys get on with it. Absolutely amazing. Mate, I love this kind of stuff behind the scenes. Who's the worst trainer? Because that typically was me in my clubs. But who's the worst trainer at La Rochelle?
Who's the worst? That's such a... I don't even know. I'm going to say it myself, but I don't even know.
Greg, you must have to tell people a few home streams. Who doesn't rock up at training?
It's a fun because I'm not the best trainer as well. So. We often see Winnie as well, only on the captain run. So maybe...
Smart.
Smart guy, yeah.
On a similar note, they might be good at training. They're, like, you don't want to sail anyone down the river and say, this guy's rubbish, he doesn't bother or whatever. But there's a lot of people who turn up to training and they maybe don't love life. Like, who's the biggest moaner?
Who's the biggest moaner? Jeez. Who complains a lot? Everyone has their moans.
Well, Teddy is a moaner.
Oh, Teddy, yeah, that's true.
And you can tell he did not enjoy the weather at the weekend either.
No, that is true.
We're going up on him. I was like, he doesn't look at home here. He could not fit in at Connacht or Ulster. He needs to stay in the south of France. Okay, so away from negatives, who would be the most impressive? Even think like, again, people get caught up in stat. Like, who are the biggest gym freaks? Like, you've got Winnie and Will that are physical, massive specimens, but who'd be your strongest humans in the gym?
Red Wardy's pretty good. He's a bit of a gym junkie. I think Kyle Hatherell did, or Black Girl. South African Black Girl is also deceptively strong in the gym.
Yeah. Reda Wardy, and I think even you, Lucia, you spend quite time at the gym, and you like it, eh?
I like gym, but I don't know. I have a bad back every day of the week, so.
Johnny wants to focus on the positives, but I'm going to bring in more negatives. They're far more fun. Who's got the worst dress sense?
Remy Piquet's not great.
Yeah, Remy Piquet, maybe.
What does he wear that's so bad?
It's a second row that's come straight to your mind, Ultan, which is great. It's somebody in your position that you've chucked under the bus.
He's the low-hanging fruit.
Give us some examples. What is Remy rocking up to training in that you're like, that needs to go in the bin, mate?
A purple Carhartt t-shirt that he wears every day.
That one's stuck in the mind. Easy.
I'm thinking as well at Pierre Poplin Crocs. It's terrible, honestly, like, with some pins on it and...
Crocs is car crap. Once you get above the age of 7, even for my son now, I'm like, mate, you can't be wearing Crocs. Like, you need to change it up. You're gonna be 8 next summer. That's it. Your Crocs are going in the bin.
A lot of people like him though. Jeez, he's my old housemates used to get them.
I should keep quiet now. I've got a pair of red Crocs, Johnny. I should keep quiet.
Red? Why would you go red?
They're stinking. Very functional.
Of course they are. Your wife hates you, as does mine. Don't worry.
Okay, and who's got the... First of all, who's in charge of the music in the La Rochelle dressing room? Because there's normally someone who's in charge of what's on.
That's Ray. Ray Monroe.
And is it any good? Or is he... Who's got the worst taste in music?
Oh, no, it's good. It's good. He's... he mixes it up a bit. He's got the same... He's got, like, I'd say 10 of his songs we'll play again. But, like, they're good. They're bangers, like, so... That's good energy.
Another one I wanted to mention is Brice Doulin. So little Dudu, who, again, in the pissing wet, the opposite to Teddy Thomas, I thought was awesome again at the weekend. He seems to be amazing every time I watch him. And he doesn't really have a bad game. Has missed out on the French squad again. But what's he like as a character behind the scenes? Because everyone that I know that's played with him, be it a cast or Racing, like, lovable, cocky little character. But his play's phenomenal as well. So give us a little bit on Brice Doulin.
I've only known him, like, obviously this season. I think he's great. I think he's hilarious as well. Him and Raj always kind of go at each other in a funny way. I find in the meetings, and it's brilliant. But Greg obviously has known him for a few more years.
No, he's a really good guy. He brings lots of energy on the pitch and as well, like, in the group, lots of energy. And always with Romain Sazi, you know, trying to do some jokes and some stuff. So put some entertainment in the team, yeah.
And when you say, Ultan, like, Greg, you might be able to expand on this because of the language. When you say going back and forth with Rog.
In a funny way.
Yeah, but that sort of sounds like the little cheeky fullback flirting with coach who used to be a 10, like a backs thing. Like, what is the type of chat that goes back and forth between those two, Greg?
Well, it's they know each other for quite a while because from the racing, and Roger spent lots of energy to bring as well Brice in La Rochelle. Classic stuff of Brice is he will show a photo in a meeting saying you have Dan Carter, you have Johnny Wilkinson, you've got Roland Garros, who's your pick, you know? And Brice was starting Dan Carter on the bench, Johnny Wilkinson, and holding the bags, Roland Garros. it's this kind of stuff every week. So.
Awesome.
So it's not Brice, but I was going to ask you, we've asked who the worst trainer is. Is there anyone who sort of teaches Pat, maybe sucking up to the coaches, or maybe not that, maybe sort of just showing a bit of potential as a future coach, maybe?
Well, I think some of the players already have done like their coaching licenses, so there's a lot of candidates, I'd say, to be honest.
You have Roman Sazi, who's seeing his last year as a player, maybe next year, and after like guys like Bruce Dulin as well, because when they speak rugby, they really know well, they know about rugby.
I think Greg could be one. Greg knows his stuff. Pierre Bougarit's pretty good as well.
We'll not gloss over this. Greg, do you fancy being a coach in future?
Well, I say I need to enjoy being a player, and we'll speak about it after. But I don't know, because I love rugby, but maybe I like it as well to get some opportunity like on the side. But you never know, because when you end your career, I imagine, and someone's come to you and say, like, do you want to be a trainer? And you... Of course, because we're living the dream every day, you know. So I'll see at the end of the career, but I hope the latest possible.
A long time to go, yeah.
A long way to go. There's a few World Cups and Grand Slams between them, so don't worry about it. Like weirdly, we spoke to Manny Miafu and Jerome Kano about the fine system they have at Toulouse as well. Have you guys got a fine system in place? Have you got a wheel of death that gets spun every week? What's on yours? How does it work? Who bosses that?
So we have a wheel. So that you need to spin every Monday. So we have the meeting on the Monday, and we spend maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes having everybody who did the mistake on the last week spinning the wheel. And yes, Thomas Bergeon is the one who needs to write every fine. And it's quite a nice moment because we enjoy it, and it puts some good energy and positive energy in the team for the week.
It's a really good way to break the ice, like especially if you come in, you've had a bad loss and everyone's like, oh, doom and gloom. And then you've got Thomas like, but now we have to do the fines wheel. And then the ice is broken and then you get into a new week. So what is on your wheel? What are the different fines? And who is the idiot in the club that always gets fined every single week and is always in the book?
Well, we have one of them is costume, which means you have to wear your number ones every day of the week. And you have to arrive and leave in your number ones. Next one will be reverse. You have to wear your clothes in reverse all the way down to your jocks, let's say, every day of the week again. You have a bonus where you get to select. If you land on bonus, you can select someone of the players or staff to spin the wheel for
That's
you.
That's awesome.
You've a 50 quid fine. You've a 100 quid fine. You've a 20 quid fine and spin again. You've a Twingo, which is probably one of the best ones. It's a little... Renault Twingo kitted out with like bull horns and a siren and all kinds of stuff on a spoiler. And if you get the Twingo, you have to drive it for the week and you have to add something new to it. Otherwise, if you don't want to drive it, like Greg, you just pay 300 quid in your grant.
The big dogs.
Oh, you have sweets and shampoos as well.
The standard. I love the bonus. The bonus was always my favorite in that there was always the sort of recurring theme of if you'd been shafted by somebody the week before, it was then your chance if you fell on a bonus to shaft somebody else. There was always that going on week to week, which I loved as well. Who in your squad every single Monday gets their name read out because they've worn the wrong thing, they're late all the time? Like, who's useless? Who's always read out?
Raymond Rule, for sure. Every Monday we have a picture of Raymond using the phone with the physio, you know, and it's forbidden. Like when you're doing some massage or stuff like this, you don't use the phone because by respect for the physio. And every Monday we have a photo of Raymond using the phone with the physio.
What are the other kind of things that you get fined for? You can't use the phone on the physio's table. What are the other things you get fined for?
Well, if you get late for meetings, if you don't. Whereas a good stuff for the game day and stuff like this.
If you turn up in your Crocs, yeah.
Yellow cards.
Red Crocs as well. You've got red Crocs.
Definitely.
You're going to find them every single Monday.
If you forget some stuff, just after it's classic rules.
And finally, Alton, we know, obviously, Greg and his mates took you on a night out. They're obviously very good. Have you had chance to go on many sort of team nights out or bonding sessions yet? Have you had a chance to kind of work out who's good in that kind of setting and who might be a bit of a liability or not?
A little bit. You don't get that much time to go out, to be honest. We had a good team building initiation night in summer. I think that was August. That was great crack. We all got dressed up in prisoner outfits and we did like a send on errands around town where all the players that were already settled had to wear like nice clothes, so we got ridiculed for the day. But there's a few good men, to be fair. Not that many liabilities, to be honest. So.
And you mentioned those men, the sort of feel-good factor around the place. Moving from Connacht and the sports ground, a very different league and a different feel. But just how much are you enjoying the experience so far? I know you mentioned you haven't had the game time you would have wanted as yet, but then it's such a packed squad. How much are you enjoying the city, the people, the club, the rounded experience so far?
Loving the challenge. Like the atmosphere at Diff Lounge alone is just, it's something to witness. Like the way you have to walk up every game day at home. You have to do that 5 minute walk to the stadium and you're greeted by like a tunnel of fans. It's just, you don't really get sick of it. And it's packed. The stat that how the grounds have been packed out for like nearly 70 weeks or something like that. It's just so impressive. Each week in the top 14 is huge. So, you know, I know it's not like you have a week or two weeks where you're playing like pro 14 job bottom tier teams. It's not like that. It's just every game is huge, whether you're playing a team at the bottom of the table or at the top. It's all like, they're just all big games. And it's because it's my first year here as well, no matter what the game it is I'm playing, it's just, it's kind of awe-inspiring seeing these brilliant venues and trying to perform away at home.
And I don't know how long your deal is, and you maybe don't think too far in advance. It's probably not sensible to, but as in the media do. I wonder if, like, when you move over there, you have a plan. Do you think, oh, I'd love to stay in the top 14 for the rest of my career? I'd quite like to experience this culture, that culture, and move around a bit. Or if you always intend on going back to Ireland?
I mean, to be honest, I'm very, very happy here. It goes without saying earlier, I'd be happy to stay here as long as I'm performing my best and as long as I'm helping the squad. I'm very happy to stay, you know. So I wouldn't like to think any further away than that, you know. So that's kind of where it is at the minute.
Absolutely. A few more nights out with Greg and his mates and there'll be another contract on the table, eh?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, good luck this weekend securing a home tie in the round of 16 and hopefully a long future in La Rochelle awaits.
Ah, thanks, Tim.
Cheers. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers. Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, Tim.
Cheers, Alton.
That was good, Greg. He's obviously settling in well.
It's really good for us to have some foreigners players like feeling well in La Rochelle. It's great to see the club being attractive as well. We are a kind of club where we like to have some Irish players, we like to have some Australian players, and to get a bit of the experience of all of them to build a strong team and a strong group.
No surprise, Johnny, but you arrive in La Rochelle. It must be pretty awe-inspiring to go into that environment. He seems like he's loving every minute of it.
Well, yeah, I think as well, he mentioned, you know, the end of last season, watching the big final win on television, like going into that squad that you can see is packed with quality players, but there's clearly a quality from the coaching level as well. The environment looks superb from the outside. So like, why wouldn't you be excited? And the challenge, like you mentioned, the top 14 is you have to back it up every single week. There's no easy games. It's not like you're in the URC where there's no relegation or promotion. Every single game counts. So awesome to see that he's settling in well, but a big talent and a big heart as well. So hopefully we'll see more of him because he's a super big bloke.
Let's briefly chat about the Champions Cup. And Johnny, we've got to start in Clermont. We've chatted about their issues and whether John O'Gibbs might be under pressure before in recent weeks. They conceded 40 points, only the fourth time ever at the Stade Marcel Michelin they've conceded that many. He's lost his job. So why do you think it didn't work out? Because he went back there from La Rochelle with a lot of fanfare, didn't he?
My gut is that he arrived at the worst possible moment, which isn't going to make him feel any better. But we've talked previously about the Arsenal, the squad that Clermont have had, like throughout the time as I played, the team they had, the monstrous names, they simply don't have that anymore. Like Damian Penault's the last one. He's about to leave and go to Bordeaux. But if you go through their team, Lopez gone, Parra gone, Rougerie, Fofana, Cudmore, none of these guys are there anymore. So the squad is thin. There's a big emphasis on youth. You have to remember that he was playing with Tiege Bergen, who I played with at Bayonne, who's 21 at centre. His scrum half at the weekend was 19. Like they're going through a structural rephase. They're working through the Gif process of having to re-recruit French players, attract foreign talent, and he doesn't have the depth at all. So it's a huge challenge. It's incredibly unfortunate, but I think he's just been a victim because everyone you speak to says he's a fantastic coach. His level of detail, the man himself, everyone says good things, outstanding things. But I genuinely just feel he's coming at the wrong time where the club is going through a little bit of a revolution and it hasn't worked. And again, their crowd, their support base, when you go to that stadium, it's absolutely manic. It's like going to La Rochelle or any of these big stadiums. But you go there now and it's quiet because there's not the intimidation. The team isn't performing because they're playing with young kids and they don't have that layer of quality. So it is incredibly unfortunate. You never like to see anybody lose their job. Christophe Urios has already been announced as taking the job this morning. So he'll be starting as soon as possible on a four-year contract. But Christophe will have a big job going in. It won't be easy for him because the caliber of player, as I've just said, that has been there over the past two decades because of the recruitment isn't there at the minute. So it's not going to be a quick fix. It'll be a rebuild and a huge job for Christophe to go in there and rebuild the club.
Well, I totally agree with Johnny, and I wouldn't be objective with Jono because I really like the coach he was. Really helped me to improve my game, you know. Always had like this really French rugby education, you know. And Jono was the first overseas coach to come and like bring his New Zealand touch. No excuses, like just move your ass and be there, you know. Never on the ground, always standing up, like doing some body language. Talking to us like about body language, you know, and all this kind of stuff, like really helped me to improve my game. So I really like the guy and the coach. So just like Johnny said, like, is it Jono was at the end or is it the end of the cycle of Clermont? I think.
And we spoke to Benji Kayser on here quite a lot about Jono, Greg, a good man off the field as well as a good coach. Loved a Guinness or two.
Yeah, of course. He always had the same. Same word after a win, like just one beer tonight, guys, and go back to work on Monday. So, no, great guy.
That is exactly what Benji said. Just one beer, guys. Two for me, one for you. That's what
he said. He said that whenever Benji had one pint of Guinness, he would always be sat with two pints of Guinness. One would be gone, then he'd be on the next one. Just a machine. So, look, that is the nature of the horrible beast, though. Like we've just talked about the potential of coaching after rugby career and. It's cutthroat. And I think that's the weird thing. Like if you'd seen him taking that job 5-6 seasons ago, I think he would have done a phenomenal job with the squad that they had then. But the timing is just wrong. And he's coming at a time where, to a certain extent, his hands are tied a little bit and it just hasn't gone right. So really sad. Wish him all the best. Hopefully he'll pick up another job soon. But a changing in the guard for Clermont.
Absolutely. He won't be short of offers regardless of what's happened at Clermont. He'll get another job somewhere. Further down the line. You've made it safely through, Greg, to the knockout stages already with a round to spare. We've spoken about how important this week's game is in terms of securing a home tie in the round of 16. You'll obviously be going to Northampton, trying to win it first. You'll know sort of what you have to do. Maybe you'll need a bonus point. Maybe you won't. We'll see. In terms of the other teams, Toulouse are through, Johnny, in terms of the French sides. But the rest of them, who's joining La Rochelle and Toulouse in the round of 16, because there's some others that are very borderline, aren't they?
I'm looking through the sort of fringes. Racing are currently eighth in their pool, but they're away to Leinster, so that looks unlikely. Bordeaux are sitting 11th in their pool, but they're home to Gloucester, so if they can pick up a big win, potentially a bonus point, that could propel them into the qualification spot. Lyon, who are also sitting in 10th, they were actually very good when they played away to the Bulls. They've got the Bulls at home this weekend, so they're the same situation. They need a big win and it's still possible to qualify. Then in the other pool, you've got Montpellier, who have lost home and away crazily to the Ospreys.
But could still go through, they.
Well, but easily. But then I say that, they've lost home and away. They're seventh in their pool, so that they're not, you know, they're much higher up than Bordeaux and Lyon, but they're home to London Irish. So that's a game, and London Irish picked up a couple of reds at the weekend. They'll be down in their personnel. So that's another game Montpellier should win. And Clermont, you want to see well, I guess what's going to happen with them in the week's preparation that they're going to have. But they're currently eighth and they're away to the Stormers, who are reigning URC champions and are playing some pretty good rugby. So I think that might be more difficult for them. So you've got Montpellier, Lyon and Bordeaux, potentially Clermont, all possible chances to go through and join La Rochelle and Toulouse, who will be looking to get as strong a seeding as possible with their games at the weekend.
We've spoken about the format before, Greg, and I'm not going to ask you about the sort of convoluted nature of it and all that kind of stuff. But as a player, obviously your sole focus is Northampton, what's going to happen. How much of the rest of it do you look at? Once your game's done, do you sort of get on the phone, turn the TV on, sort of look at the overall picture? Obviously, you look at who you're going to face at the end of the weekend in the round of 16. But do you look at those other games and sort of enjoy the kind of excitement of the final round of the pool stages once you've got that home tie in the bag?
No, yes, really exciting. And we're looking forward to see who's going to be the next opponent. But we were even saying, like, it's a shame that the last game of the pool stage, like, is not a multiplex, you know, like all the games same hour and arrive at 6 o'clock, like it's done and you never know what happened, because this got another flavor as well for the guy looking on TV, and for us even playing, you never know what happening on the pitch next to us. So but we honestly, I didn't watch the rankings yet, and I didn't try to make some kind of supposition. Like, I think we're focused on us just winning our game, and we'll see after.
Absolutely. As long as it's in La Rochelle, doesn't matter, does it? You take all comers.
Exactly.
Good luck this weekend, Greg, and for the Six Nations. We'll speak to you probably after that, but a massive good luck.
Thanks. We need some luck, yeah.
You'll be all right. We'll catch you in Capreton in a couple of weeks' time. If not me, you can take my son and explain to him what rugby is, because he's clueless. You'll enjoy it.
User.
Cheers, Johnny. Cheers, Greg. Big thanks to Alton Dillam for joining us as well. And thanks to all you guys for listening. Make sure you hit subscribe. Leave us a nice review if you can. Check us out on Rugby Pass and on YouTube. And we'll be back with another episode next week. Au revoir, guys.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, Tim. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president. You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.